Okay, good morning everybody. Again, Chodesh Elul, even though Rosh Chodesh was last week, it's our first Shemaras HaLashon class in this month of Elul. So welcome back to our Shemaras HaLashon class learning. I just looked at the calendar right before we started Shir. There's one more class after this, Be'ezrat Hashem, before Rosh Hashanah. So there's this class and then one more before the Yom HaDin. So we are learning the Zeichu Nishmaso and the Ilui Nishmaso, Tzvi Gershon Alav Hashem Ben Yoel V'Chana. We then Shama have a continuous aliyah in the zchus of the Torah learning that we will share this morning. In the zchus of Alyssa and her family's dedication to the Torah learning, the important shiurim that we share. Also, as a zchus aliyah neshama, for Zev Wolf ben Yeshaya, may his neshama have an aliyah in the zchus of our learning. And with Alyssa's gracious permission, continue besuros tovus and refuos for bracha v'gai bas rachel geta besoch shar chalei Yisrael. Let's begin with the tefillah al hadibur, please. For those who are, you know, maybe every week you're wondering, on the WhatsApp chat where I post the Zoom and the share link after, it's the little WhatsApp icon. So if you don't know where the Tefillah Al-Dibur is, if you go to the WhatsApp group and you click on the icon of this share notification group, that's where it is. So you could say along with us if you're interested. Ribbono shel Olam, yi ratzon lefanecha al rachum v'chanan, shetizakeni hayom v'chol yom, lishmar piyu lishonim v'lashon hara v'chilas, v'ezarim l'dabar afil al ish yachid, v'kol shekein ha'kol yisho, o achelek mehem, v'kol shekein misraim al midosef shal kosh baruch hu. So, a beautiful piece of Besoros Tovos I saw late last night in the Israel news on Arut Shava, all nine. Do you remember 3 years ago, Hanukkah? There was a couple, a very young couple, waiting, very early 20s, at a bus stop, and there was a terror attack. They were both injured. She was 7 months pregnant. Love you. Have a great day. She was 7 months pregnant, and both her and her husband were injured, and they delivered the baby early. Well, this is nodding yes. And the baby was nifta after 3 days. They named him Amiad Yisrael, and he was buried. The father is Chaim Silverstein. The girl's father is Chaim Silverstein. When we were in Israel 2 years ago, he works for an organization that tries to draw awareness of what's going on in East Jerusalem. He gave me and my family a 3-hour tour of, we don't even realize what East Jerusalem means. If you ever have the opportunity to take the tour, you surely take it. Anyway, it wasn't just like East Jerusalem and the Old City. We really ran through. You don't realize how huge East Jerusalem is. Okay, Shuafat refugee camp. He took us to King Shaul's palace. It was incredible. Anyway, his daughter, well, this morning they made a bris. That's the whole point. I saw last night in Rut Sheva that this morning, Baruch Hashem, there was a bris for their new baby. So they should be zocha to raise him to Torah Chupa Ma'isim Tovim. And he should bring nachas to his family, the Ribbono Shel Olam, and all of Kal Yisrael. So I thought that was a very, very wonderful Besoros Tovos. So we wish him an amazing Mazel Tov, a lot of nachas. Okay, we're still on Arachin. By the way, this week's Parsha is the famous Zachar Es Asher Osal Hashem Al Kecha Miriam B'derech B'tzeis Chomer Mitzrayim Parachof Dalet Pasuk Tes of the Book of Devarim. I'm not going into it. I was considering it because a few years ago, we did the famous Ramban. I'm not even sure who remembers it. I shouldn't say it's a famous Ramban. We learned the Ramban in depth. It's the Mitzvah of Zachiris Miriam. Did I say Amalek? It's also this week's parasha, by the way. It's 25:17, but it's Miriam. 24:9 is Chiras Miriam. But I decided not to do it because we did a number of years ago, even though it's really something kedai to relearn. But we're continuing in the Gemara on the Amud that we are on. But just to keep in mind that we do have Zechiras Miriam in this week's parasha. It is a mitzvah t'midios. It's one of the six sheis zechiros to remember what happened to Miriam. And of course, she was punished with tzara'as because of the lashon hara that she spoke. And the Torah does not hide this from us. And even though she was a great tzadikas, and her brothers were the leader, the Rabbeinu, and the Kohen Gadol, nevertheless, she was punished. And the Torah wants us to remember if it happened to her, it could happen to any of us. Having said that, we're going to go back into the Gemara where we are currently studying. So we're still in Maseches Erechin Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, and what we're exploring is Ba'api Talisa. And last time we learned a number of halachos, if you remember, from the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, regarding sins of speech and Shmir Saloshin and Yani Shmir Saloshin. So I'm now going to continue with the footnote. The teaching of the Gemara that we're spending a lot of time on is anything said in the presence of three or more people. There's no prohibition involved of Lashon Hara in repeating it further. Why not? Your friend has a friend who he will tell, and your friend's friend has a friend who he will tell. So if you say in the presence of three people, it's assumed that you know it's going to be very public knowledge, and therefore it's not considered Lashon Hara to repeat it further. This is of great debate amongst the sages as to exactly what this ambiguous statement means, and that is what we have been studying over the course of a number of Arshi'urim. So I'm going to the art school footnote, and now the art school footnote, we did last week the Rambam in depth, 2 weeks ago. The art school footnote, okay, so I'm in Maseches Erechin Tesayin Amar Aleph, and it is 1, so 16a1 in the art school Daf Yomi Gemara. And it is, I'm continuing in footnote number 1. It's a very, very, very long footnote. Now quotes the explanation of the Chofetz Chaim as to how we understand this teaching. Okay, so a lengthy quote here from the Chofetz Chaim's teaching. The Chofetz Chaim prefers Tosfos' view. The Chofetz Chaim explains, according to Tosfos, the three parts of the Gemara that we have learned are a single progression. So I hope when I tell you the three parts of the Gemara we've learned, you're going to remember from a few months ago the previous parts of the Gemara that we have learned. So the Gemara in Erechin Tesvav through Teszayin teaches three different teachings that the Chofetz Chaim is going to put together into one teaching. According to Tosfos, the three parts of the Gemara that we have learned are a single progression. Okay, on Tesvav Amud Beis, 15b, the Gemara defines the minimum level of Lashon Hara. What's the minimum level of Lashon Hara? As an ambiguous statement. If you recall, the Gemara says, where can fire be found other than in so-and-so's house where there is meat and fish? Now, that seems to be a very ambiguous statement. What is Lashon Hara about that? However, this could have a positive meaning. He has many guests. He treats them well, so he always has a fire going because he has a lot of meat and fish. Or it has a negative meaning, which is that he is selfish, he's a glutton, he's indulgent, he can't stop eating, he's a novel b'sho satara. He always has a fire going, he has so much meat and fish. So it's an ambiguous, almost neutral statement. It could be interpreted as positive, it could be interpreted as negative, and the Gemara has told us that that is an ambiguous statement which could be defined as the minimum level of Lashon Hara. If it is said in a tone of voice and body language, so this is very practical, halacha l'maisa, okay, based on Erechim 15b, how do you convey the information? So what does it depend on if it's a neutral statement? If he says it in a tone of voice and body language, so we communicate with our tone, our inflection, we communicate also with body language. If you indicate through body language and tone that it is a negative meaning, excuse me, then it is Lashon Hara. Okay, yes? Now, obviously, the flip side is if you say it in a positive tone with positive and warm body language, then everyone realizes you're complimenting the person and it's not Lashon Hara. Then the Gemara continues. Rabbah has stated the rule that anything said in the presence of the person spoken about involves no prohibition of Lashon Hara. So after that statement, that an ambiguous statement such as where can fire be found if not in such and such house, he always has meat and fish cooking, then Rabbah comes along and Rabbah says on the Gemara that anything said in the presence, in the presence of the person being spoken about involves no prohibition of Lashon Hara. So Abaya understands Rabba literally, and Abaya says that's Lashon Hara and Chutzpah. What do you mean anything said in the presence of the person spoken about is not Lashon Hara? You're speaking about that person in front of that person. You're saying it's not Lashon Hara, Rabba. Abaya says it's Lashon Hara and it's Chutzpah. You're not even embarrassed. You're saying it in front of him. Rabba then clarifies he didn't mean his ruling in that way. He was referring to an ambiguous statement like the Gemara mentioned. If a person says, where can fire be found other than in the presence of such and such house? He always says, fish and meat cooking. And you say it in the presence of Mr. Such and Such. So then it must be, Rabba says, that that is not Lashon Hara. It must be, you mean it in a positive way. Here is my amazing neighbor. They always have a fire going. They have so many guests. They're preparing for Echnesus Erchim all the time. So when Rabba says a statement said in the presence of the person you're speaking about is not Lashon Hara, he clarifies it with the previous teaching of the Gemara, which is only if it's ambiguous, you must mean it in a positive sense, otherwise you wouldn't have said it in front of that person. One can safely assume he intended the positive meaning, and no Lashon Hara, therefore, has been spoken, and therefore that ambiguous statement, when said in the presence of the person you're speaking about, must be considered a positive statement. Rabba clarified this to Abaya by quoting Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi never uttered a statement with a possible negative twist that he would have to guard from being heard by the subject. So we learn from Rabbi Yossi, who never said anything ambiguous. It might have a negative twist in front of the person he was speaking about. If you're speaking in front of that person, it can be assumed that you mean it in a positive fashion. So we're obviously not talking about a cruel person who's looking to hurt other people. And if you speak in front of that person, even if it's ambiguous, anyone in their right mind would assume that that statement is positive because they're right there in front of you. This is the kind of statement to which Rabba referred. If the statement is unambiguously negative, however, then of course the statement is Lashon Hara and prohibited. Ambiguous, but the body language and the facial expression and the tone of voice indicate negative, and then that's considered Lashon Hara. And then finally, the Gemara moves to Api Talisa. So we move from an ambiguous statement to a statement by Rabba, to a question by Abaya, to a clarification by Rabba based on the behavior of Rabbi Yossi. And finally, the third teaching is Api Talisa. Remember, this is all the Chofetz Chaim based on Tosfos. We presume that the speaker of an ambiguous statement meant it positively, not only when it was said in the presence of the subject, like Rabba rules, but even when he said it in the presence of three people, since he knows eventually these three will bring it to the ears of the subject. So it has to be that if it was ambiguous and it was said ba'api talisa, then it must mean you intended it letova, because you have to know that one of those three people at least is going to go back to the subject and say, do you know what such and such said about you? Here too, if the statement is negative, the Chofetz Chaim rules, it is clearly Lashon Hara and therefore prohibited. So according to the Chofetz Chaim, this is very important. What does Ba'api Talisa mean? Anything said in the presence of three has no prohibition of Lashon Hara, only if it is an ambiguous statement that is given over in a positive fashion based on your tone and your choice of words and your body language and your eye expression. And therefore, it's not Lashon Hara, because it has to be that anything you said in the presence of three, which represents the public, is going to get back to the person you spoke about. So it must be. There's no prohibition of Lashon Hara. Why? Because the statement wasn't Lashon Hara. It was said in a positive fashion. The Chofetz Chaim holds anything said in the presence of three that is a negative statement is considered negative, and you've considered like you have violated Lashon Hara. So this is a beautiful conclusion to the teachings of Va'ape Telesa. Before Sefer Bamidbar, we learned about it in depth. We quoted from Rabbi Daniel Feldman, Sefer, on Shmir Salashon, if you remember. We spent a lot of time in the Gemara. We learned the Rambam last week in depth. So really, the Chofetz Chaim says you have to be very careful. This is not a blanket heter to go in front of three people or more and start speaking Lashon Hara. It must be that you're saying an ambiguous, based on Rabba's explanation, based on the behavior of Rabbi Yossi, as he explained to Abaya, I meant it as positive. Therefore, I said in the presence of the subject. So saying something about another person in the presence of three is akin to saying it in the presence of the subject himself. It must mean you meant it positively. So this is very, very practical. So often we are... Just happened yesterday in a WhatsApp group. Someone wrote something. Someone else became very angry publicly. Ooh, I didn't say anything or get involved at all. But that's Ba'api Talisa. Because today, Ba'api Talisa doesn't only mean literally in presence of three. Technology has changed things. And if a negative statement is made, you could tell based on punctuation and inflection, etc. In the presence of three, if it's positive, then it's positive. It's negative, it's a big problem. So we have to be extremely careful. And Lamaisa, this has a lot of relevance and application to our every single day lives. So even if you sit in your house the whole entire day, you are with technology, but Ba'api Talisa almost all the time. Something very powerful to keep in mind. So according to the Chofetz Chaim, what the Gemara means is only that if it's ambiguous and said in a positive fashion, then there's no prohibition of repeating it further in the presence of three. Something very powerful to keep in mind. I'm continuing with the Gemara. The Gemara now turns to the subject of Avak Lashon Hara. So we're still in Erechin Ted Zayin Amud Aleph, okay? The Gemara turns to the subject of Avak Lashon Hara. And I'm sure that this is something that you have heard. Avak means Vayavek Ish Imo Al Alos HaShachar. Parshas Vayishlech, Yaakov is fighting on the river Yabok the whole night with the Sarshal Esav, and he wrestled with him until the morning dawn. Why does it use the word avak? Because they kicked up dust with their feet until the Kisei HaKav would say Chazal. So avak means dust. So we have another prohibition of Lashon Hara, which is avak Lashon Hara, which isn't straight out Lashon Hara, but it is the dust of Lashon Hara. So how do we understand this? The Art School footnote says as follows, avak Lashon Hara, by Art School footnote, literally the dust of Lashon Hara, refers to speech that is not, in and of itself, considered Lashon Hara, but nevertheless has some aspect of Lashon Hara to it. The term dust is meant to convey the secondary nature of the matter, like the dust that rises from an object being crushed in a mortar. So something being crushed in the mortar is the main object, but the dust is the offshoot of that object, if you will. So too, it's not the main crux of the Lashon Hara. It's something that emanates from the Lashon Hara itself. Avak Lashon Hara appears to be prohibited at merely a rabbinic level, with possible isolated expressions. The Gemara Maseches Bava Brasra, and I'm sure you've heard this, teaches, most people are suspect of some form of thievery. A minority are suspect of immorality. All people are suspect of Avak Lashon Hara. So what is Avak Lashon Hara? What does the Gemara continue? Okay, here we go. Ki asher Rav Dimi Amar. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Ma'i dichtiv, what is the meaning of the pasuk? This is a pasuk from Mishlei 27, Chav Zayin Yudalad. The pasuk says in Mishlei, Mivarech re'ehu bekol gadol, baboker, hashkeim, kilala techashev lo. Not hard, Lashon HaKodesh. Listen to the Lashon of the Pasuk again from Mishlei. Mivarech re'ehu b'kol gadol baboker hashkeim kilala teichashev lo. What does it mean? If someone blesses his friend loudly with a loud voice early in the morning, baboker hashkeim, early in the morning, it will be considered a curse for him. Mivarech re'ehu b'kol gadol. Someone who blesses his friend with a loud voice, baboker hashkeim, when he wakes up early in the morning, kilala techashev lo. It's considered a curse for him. How could someone who's blessing his friend in a loud voice be considered a curse? That's a pasuk from Mishlei Chav Zayin Yadalad. So the Gemara answers as follows. Rav Dimi teaches, kigon dimikila l'ushpiza. What's ushpiza? Mishpizin, what's Mishpizin? Aramaic, guests, okay, or a host. For example, where one visited a certain host. So you have a person, a guest going, and he visits a host. V'tarchu kame shapir, the member of this household extended themselves greatly for the sake of showing hachnasos archim. L'machar, the next morning, nafik yasi b'shuka, this man goes, and he sits b'shuka, he sits in the shuk. The guest goes, he's been at the house of the host, they extend themselves greatly to do achnasos archim, and he sits in the market, va'amar, and he says, Rachmana nivareche lipal niya. May the merciful one bless so-and-so. Okay, Rachmana, Hashem, the merciful one, nivareche, from Beirach, lipilana ploni. It's Aramaic. So it's like, may the Almighty bless ploni amoni. May the merciful one bless so-and-so, meaning my host. Dahachi tarach kamei, he had a lot of tircha for me. He exerted himself greatly for me. V'shamin inshe, and people in the market hear what he is saying. V'azlin v'ansine, and they proceed to take advantage of the host. That's a story that Rav Dimi says when it comes from Eretz Yisrael. There's a certain man, a guest, and he stays by this host, and the host and his household exert themselves greatly. The next day, the man goes to the shuk, he sits in the market, and he calls out in a loud voice, may the merciful one bless so-and-so and his family. They exerted themselves greatly to host me. People hear what is being said. They go to that host, and they take advantage of him. So what does this mean? So the Art Scroll footnote explains, and it's Rashi to the Gemara. I looked up the Rashi. They prevail upon him to accept them as his guest. They return repeatedly until they exhaust his resources. Sometimes you hear that a person is a big, you know, Baal Tzedakah or a big Machnis Oreich, and then people repeatedly call on that person to either give a lot of Tzedakah or do a lot of Hachnasos Orchim. They may be bombarded with requests once the word gets out that these are people of this nature. The reason they're bringing about this damage is considered avak Lashon Hara and not full-fledged Lashon Hara, is because he didn't intend to do harm with his statement, or because the harm is too far removed from his statement. Remember, we've already learned previously that even saying something positive could be a problem of Lashon Hara. So here you see that if you cause an undue tircha on this person until the point where they exhaust all of his resources, this is considered avak Lashon Hara. Unbelievable. It is prohibited, mamish, it is prohibited to speak effusively about one's host in a public forum. But it is permitted, so you have to be very careful. If someone does a major tova for you, you have to be careful in how you go around speaking about that person publicly. Unbelievable. It is permitted, however, and even commendable, to praise one's host in a private setting. The Gemara Maseches Brachos teaches, what does a good guest say? How much trouble my host took for my sake? How much meat he brought before me? How much wine he brought before me? How many rolls he brought before me? All that trouble he took only for my sake. So that is when it is said privately in front of the host. So in other words, it's appropriate to thank your host and to laud them and to praise them. But you have to be very careful if you go in public and start effusively praising this person. It might cause others to take advantage of them. You go, you know, into the market and you say you don't know the amazing things this person did, or you wake up early in the morning and you post on WhatsApp the amazing things this person did, and now that person is being bombarded and all their resources are being taken away. So that is considered avak Lashon Hara, and we have to see, once again, we see how careful we must be, mamash, in regard to everything that we say when it comes to speaking about other people. Certainly when it comes to ambiguous statements, like we have learned in the beginning of Shir, and even praising somebody effusively publicly can be a problem of avak Lashon Hara. Continues the Gemara. Tanya Rav Dimi Achahu de Rav Safa. Rav Dimi, the brother of Rav Safa, taught in the Braisa. La'olam al yisaper adam betova so shachaveiro. A person should never tell about the good compliments about his friends. Shamitoch tova so bali de ra'aso. Because from telling about the complimentary aspects of this person, the good aspects of this person, you might come to say the bad things about this person as well. And the article footnote says, this case is where one speaks excessively about someone's virtues. Because speaking excessively about any matter is going to lead to some form of forbidden speech. And you might conclude he's such an amazing person after you say all the amazing things about him, quote, with the exception of this one bad trait that he has, because nobody's perfect and we're all human beings. So he's such an amazing person except for X, Y, and Z, but I really mean it, that he's a wonderful person. So you've said all the wonderful things about him, but you want to prove that he's not a malach, because we're not malachim, we are anashim. And so therefore, okay, thought of a beautiful dvartor related to Avram and Lora, malachim and anashim. I don't take the time because I want to try and get through what I prepared. So since we are anashim and we are not malachim, you might say he's such an amazing person. But one thing, you know what happens when you say that one thing? You violated exactly this teaching of the Gemara. La'olam ali saper adam betovaso shel chaveiro, shem bitoch tovaso bali dei ra'aso. You even have to be careful with excessive compliments, because it's inevitably, the Gemara teaches you, going to lead to something negative. Furthermore, that's one possibility. You're going to end by saying, well, he's just a human being, so this is his fault. Or, alternatively, those listening to the person may respond, but he has such and such characteristics. So you might be only praising him, you're telling it to other people, and they might interject and say, oh, you think he's so amazing? You know what I know about him? He has such and such characteristic. Rabbeinu Yonah defines avak Lashon Hara as comments that induce people indirectly to speak full-fledged Lashon Hara. So somehow you made some sort of comment, such an amazing person, you said it publicly, you indirectly induce someone to now speak Lashon Hara about that person, you have violated avak Lashon Hara. Praise of a person is prohibited according to Rashi and other Rishonim only when it is excessive. excessive. So making one small compliment or a compliment about a person in public is considered okay, but it's excessive. We learn this from the Chumash. Noach ish sadik tamim haya b'dorasav esha elokim hisalech Noach. When Hashem goes to Noach, he says to him, ki oscha reisi tzadik lefanai b'dor hahu. Hashem only calls him a tzadik in his face when he's talking to him, but when he's not talking to him, and the Torah is narrating to us, he's Noach, he's ish, he's sadik, tamim haya b'dorasav esha elokim hisalech Noach. He has a whole list of Torah, but when God goes to Noach, he says one Torah. So what does Rashi tell us? Rashi tells us, lo olam yisader. I'm quoting something totally different. So it's also about Shavach. It's about Shavach Shamakam. So what does Rashi tell us? You shouldn't tell Mikzvah Shivcho Sha'adam Befana Velo Kula Befana. When it comes to praising a person in front of that person, you should only say a little bit of their Shavach in front of them. Not in front of them, you could say a lot of Shavach. However, the Gemara here is coming to tell us that that could be a problem. Not when it comes to Ribbono Shalom, to narrating in the Torah, of course. Chas v'shalom. But when it comes to us starting to speak excessively, the more you talk, the more sin. I'm not talking about, use your seichel, okay? A parent talking to a grandparent about a child and giving a lot of compliments. A Rebbe who calls a parent and says how wonderful a child is, although there may be sometimes coming after a little bit of klisher as well. I'm not talking about those kind of situations. Please, we have to be seicheldik here, but when a human being speaks excessively about a person, it can be a problem. It is permitted to praise someone in front of others with moderation, as we see was a practice of the Tanaim and the Amoraim. The Rambam rules, it's prohibited to praise someone in the presence of others who dislike him. That's mamish usher, to say a compliment of someone if you're in the presence of others and you know that they do not like him, they've had problems with him in the past. Or to praise someone in public, says the Rambam, there are likely to be. That's how careful you have to be. You don't even know for sure. If you know for sure, you for sure can't praise him. There are likely to be people who disfavor him. They'll be prompted to rebut the accolades bestowed upon him. Rabbeinu Yonah makes an exception for praising in public someone who has already had an established reputation as a decent and blameless person, so that person can be praised in public. It's interesting, Rabbeinu Yonah's exception, because today there are so many different factions, unfortunately, and different divisions. I don't know if there's any one person who every group accepts as having a blameless reputation. Unfortunately, it's very sad. I'm not saying something good. This is an unbelievable story. I went for a fast talk yesterday evening. I was listening to a shir by Shai Shachter, and he told the story over. It's all my Torah, so anyone could go listen to it. And he said the story wasn't like third party related, but he was learning with his father in the yeshiva at the time, so he was there. He witnessed the whole story. So there was a yeshiva in Flatbush, and the director of administration called Rav Herschel Shachter Shlita, and they said they know that he is close with this certain man who's very wealthy in the community, who gives a lot of tzedakah. And they asked Rav Herschel Shachter to call this man and put in a good word for their yeshiva. So Rav Herschel Shachter didn't know anything about the yeshiva, but Rabbi Shai Shachter said, if you ask him, father, to do something, he's going to do it. So he said, okay, no problem. Then Rav Herschel Shachter realized, you know, he called the administrator back the next day or the next 2 days. He said, I give a weekly shiur in Brooklyn. How about next week, before my weekly shiur, I'll leave my house 45 minutes earlier. I'll come see your yeshiva. I'll see the Limud Torah that's going on there. And this way, when I call this rich gavir for a donation, it'll be more authentic. It will be more real. I'll be able to say, I saw the yeshiva. I saw the Bachum learning. I highly recommend it. And he'll be inclined to give a donation. So the administrator said, great. Or the board of directors, I don't know. Next week, you're going to come at this and this time. A couple days later, the Rosh Yeshiva got a phone call from the menah of that yeshiva, of Shachter, yes. Calling from such, it was Rabbi so-and-so from such and such yeshiva. Rabbi Shai Shachter did not say the name of the yeshiva. He said, I understand you're supposed to come see our yeshiva next week. So Rav Herschel Shachter said, yes, I am. So the menah said, I don't think you should come. So Rav Herschel Shachter said, why? I was going to come so that I could recommend you to this, you know, rich gavir. He'll give a bigger donation. So the menah said, you know, your mahalach is not really the mahalach of this yeshiva. I don't think it will be a good hashpa on the boys, on the talmidim. I don't think you should come. So Rav Herschel Shachter said, okay, I won't come. I'll still call the rich gavir to make a donation. Rav Shai Shach said he was furious. He himself. He couldn't believe it. He said, I know my father's an Anub, but where's the limit? He said his father didn't care at all. Father said, okay, no problem. It's fine. I won't come. My point is that making a comment about somebody in public, even if they have a reputation as being a stellar, upstanding, blameless individual, might be problematic. Because when there's unfortunately so much machlokas, sin es chinem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, only Ahavas chinem will rebuild it, it's not rebuilt. Even a positive statement about someone who's considered blameless might be a avak lashon hara if it leads to negativity. The Rambam, Maimonides, cites other examples of statements that he deems avak lashon hara. So what else? The Kagan, a very halachic shir based on the Gemara here with the article footnotes. What exactly is, some real life vignettes as well. I told you what happened on WhatsApp yesterday, Oyvei, Avshalom Shechter story. The Rambam cites other examples of statements that he deems avak lashon hara. So what else is considered the dust of lashon hara? The Gemara had already told us, the guy who sits in the market the morning after being hosted and says, my hosts were amazing, that's avak lashon hara. Okay, who would have, so this is according to the Rambam, who would have ever predicted so-and-so that he would become what he is now? It's true. I know somebody who really struggled in school. I guess you could call a big troublemaker. Didn't get along well with the teachers. Lots of stories I could share, etc. Very, very successful person. Successful in Yiddishkeit, successful family man, successful in business. Baruch Hashem, super successful. So it's funny, because you could say, who would have predicted, if you say in public, that Mr. John Doe would have become so successful? It's a avak lashon hara, because what are you saying with that tone of voice? There must be something in this guy's history that proves you would never have predicted what he became today. Very successful. He's a tremendous baal tzedaka. Mom is so successful in business, beautiful family, and very successful in his Yiddishkeit. And if I gave you details of what happened in school, it's literally what the Rambam writes. So if you go in public and say, who would have predicted Mr. John Doe would have been this person? You're saying, you know, there must be something in their past that's not so kosher. So that really, only you're saying he's very successful now. But based on the tone of voice and the implication, the Rambam says that halachically, you have just transgressed avak lashon hara. Another example, according to the Rambam, do not speak about so-and-so. I don't want to disclose what happened and what became of what he did. Don't speak about him. I don't want to disclose what happened. That's not per se lashon hara. You're just saying, don't speak about him. I don't want to say what happened. But that's avak lashon hara, because now all of a sudden it's the dust that's kicked up when you grind the mortar, that dust, because now people realize, you know, there's something about this guy to talk about. Oh, you don't want to talk about it, but there's something interesting. Maybe I could find out from somebody else. The Rambam adds to the list negative statements that are said in the spirit of humor or in a flippant manner or said under a pretense of naivete, as if the speaker is unaware that he's speaking lashon hara. I'm so innocent, I didn't realize that was lashon hara. These examples fit into the Rambam's definition of avak lashon hara, which is intimating that there are flaws in another person without saying so explicitly. Okay, so this person, one of their teachers in a certain grade wanted to put them on medication to get them to calm down in the class. Lots of stories. So if I say, who would have believed that Mr. John Doe would become the person he is today? So that's according to the Rambam's definition of avak lashon hara. It is implying without indirectly saying that there are flaws in another person without saying so explicitly. However, that's going to the Rambam. I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to say what happened. That's according to the Rambam. However, ready? According to the Chafetz Chaim, in his ruling in Hilchos Lashon Hara with Be'er Mayim Chaim, these statements are full-fledged Lashon Hara. So the Rambam was more lenient, you could say. He defines these ambiguous statements as avak Lashon Hara. However, according to the Chafetz Chaim, they are full-fledged Lashon Hara. Lastly, article footnote, if a person makes a kind of statement that brings suspicion upon himself that he's speaking Lashon Hara, he's guilty of a vak Lashon Hara. So here's another dimension. You don't want to bring suspicion upon yourself. Now people say, oh, do you know Michal Art? She actually speaks Lashon Hara. You know what she said? Now you're guilty of a vak Lashon Hara. Think about it that way. Dust. If you're involved in something, okay, if you're... Oh, sorry. I banged my elbow. 1 second. Okay. If you're involved, isn't it true, I don't know, in a class of like woodwork or in painting or in ceramics? So you're not working on yourself directly, you're working on the object. But if you're doing a class of, you know, sanding the walls for painting, so what's going to happen? You're going to get full of the sand. And you're going to get full of the paint, and you're going to get full of the dust from the sawdust, but you weren't cutting yourself, you were cutting the beams and the boards to make a bench. That sawdust is going to get all over you. So one way to describe Lashon Hara, avak Lashon Hara, is if you bring suspicion upon yourself, and others think you're speaking Lashon Hara, that you've covered yourself, pun intended, in avak Lashon Hara. Okay, so the last thing we learned in the Gemara is La'olam al yisaper adam b'tovaso shachaveiro shemitoch tovaso bali deira aso. We have given very concrete examples in addition to the halachos of the Rambam and the psak of the Chavetz Chaim that we quoted. Great, fascinating. Okay, continuing. The Gemara records a different version of how this teaching came to light. Ika de Amre. Some say the story happened as follows. Ready? A very interesting story, and we need the Aris Kofunia to help us understand what's going on here. Rav Dimi Achau de Rav Safra Chalash. Rav Dimi, the brother of Rav Safra, became ill. So Rav Dimi is ill. His brother's Rav Safra. Al Rav Safra Lashule La Leshayule Bay. Rav Safra entered the home to inquire about his welfare. So it seems that Rav Safra came to be Mevakar Cholim to his brother Rav Dimi, who is sick. Interesting, Dimi is from the root word dome, like silence. Dal of Mem is silence. Oh my gosh, and Safra is from the word Sipur. Holy moly. You know, I always talk about Shorashim in Torah, and I'm fascinated by them. Wait, this is very, very significant, because this teaching is all about Rav Dimi's the first one who said that if you host a guest in your home and he wakes up early in the morning and goes to the shuk and he talks about you, that is avak Lashon Hara. Remember, it's all based on the pasuk from Mishlei, Mevarich Re'ehu B'kol Gadol B'Boker Hashkem Kelala Teichal Shevlo. Then we are told Rav Dimi, the brother of Rav Safra, is the one who said, La'olam al yisaper adam b'tovaso shachaveiro shemitoch tovaso bali deira. So now we're going to have another story, another narrative related by the Gemara about Rav Safra and Rav Dimi. And when I was talking, it dawned on me, and I didn't think about this when I was preparing share yesterday, but Rav Dimi is from the word dome. L'chad dumia tehila. To you, God's silence is golden. Okay? Dome is to be silent. The most famous is from Parashat Shmini, Vayidom Aram. Okay? And then I noticed, as I was speaking, that Rav Safra is from the word Sipur. Samech Pei Reish Aleph. Lesaper. So it's these, interestingly, names that come to teach us lessons about silence on the one hand, Dome, and Sipur speaking on the other hand. Nothing in Torah is an accent. I say that all the time. Not in Torah Shabbatav, not in Torah Shabbat, which Rashi tells us numerous times that Chumash Torah Shabbat is given to Moshe at Sinai, just like Torah Shabbatav. So, nothing is an accident. So it's quite compelling that these lessons are being taught by Rav Dimi, by Yidom Aaron, Nechod Dumia Tehila, and Rav Safra. I mean Sipur Lesaper. It couldn't be more obvious. Amazing. So here we go. Rav Dimi is sick. Rav Dimi, Achu ad Rav Safra, Chalash. Chalash is the word weak. Okay, so Rav Dimi, the brother of Rav Safra, became weak. Al Rav Safra, L'shayule beis, Rav Safra, the brother, came to inquire about the welfare of his brother. Amar Luhu, Rav Dimi said to Rav Safra, Rav Dimi sick, Chalash, weak. He says to his brother Rav Safra, and to the other people in the room, Teitei li dekayami ko de'umar rabbanen. May a reward come my way. I have fulfilled everything the rabbis have said. So it'll be like a person lying in their sickbed and saying, I'm such an amazing person. I've done everything that the rabbis said I have to do. Amarle, Rav Safra said to his brother, Ha mi mekayamet, mi ka Yeah, met from kiyum, the kayim, not meet like that. But you have fulfilled this teach. But have you fulfilled the teaching of the rabbis that says, "La'olam al yisaper adam b'tovaso shachaveiro shemitoch tovaso bali dei knuso"? Rav Dimi sick. His brother of Safar comes to visit. Bikrocholim. There's people apparently assembled in the room. And Rav Safar says, "A reward shall come to me. I have fulfilled all the dictum of the sages." So Rav Safar said, "That's very nice. You're very humble. But have you fulfilled the teaching?" He now quoted Rav Dimi's old teaching back to him. "Oh, you yourself taught us. La'olam al yisaper adam b'tovaso shachaveiro. A person should never speak of the compliments of their friend. You just spoke about your own compliments. Shemitoch tovaso bali dei gnuso. Because from the talking about the compliments, you're going to come to disparage that fellow." Rav Dimi said, "I never heard that teaching." Amar lehu, Rav Dimi said, "Lo shimili, I never heard this, it never came to my ears. V'ihava shimi ali, and if I would have heard it, kayamte, I would have fulfilled it." Who's the one, the immediate teaching in the Gemara, right before the story, that teaches us, you should not tell the good of your friend, because from the good you come to the bad? Rav Dimi, the brother of Rav Safra, that's who's identified. It doesn't just say Rav Dimi. Tane de Rav Dimi achau de Rav Safra. So how do we understand what just happened here in this story? Isn't this amazing? Incredible. Here we go. Art scroll footnote quotes the Ben Yehoyada. First of all, it's fascinating Torah, and it's also a lot of halacha in today's class, because we spoke about understanding about Ape Telaisa. We spoke in depth about what is Avak Lashon Hara. We've given very real examples about how this can apply in our own lives. A lot of application. Okay, here we go. How do we understand this strange story? And we added Dimi and Safra, which is an amazing Baruch Pokeach Ivrim. It's not, nothing's an accent. It's not possible. Rashi tells us so many times in Chumash that Torah Shabbat Peh is given to Moshe at Sinai, just like Torah Shabbat Tav. And no word of Torah, no word of Torah is an accident. No word is superfluous. And I always say how fascinated I am by Shor Rashim and words in Lashon HaKodesh. I'm sure if you, not your first time learning with me, you've heard me say that many a time. These whole three teachings are given to us in the name of Rav Dimi and Rav Safra. It's amazing. What an amazing idea. Wow. Okay. How do we understand this story? Ben Yehoyada explains this exchange as follows. And it's a beautiful, resolution to a seemingly strange story. Rav Dimi was puzzled as to why Rav Safra and the others who came to check on his welfare were maintaining their silence. So people came to be Mevakar Cholim, but they were being quiet. Rav Dimi thought if they wanted to help him recover, they should speak about his merits, his zechuyot. If they spoke about the mitzvos and the chesed and the zechuyot that he had, it would prompt the heavenly angels, defending angels, to intercede on his behalf and trigger the attribute of mercy. So Rav Dimi was sick, people came to see him, and nobody's talking. They're all quiet. He needs chuyot to get better. It's not only Rifa'enu, why should we give this person a refuah shleima? You need to tell Shemayim why this person deserves a refuah shleima. They kept so many mitzvahs, they're going to keep more mitzvahs. I could tell a beautiful story in the name of Rafaina, Rabbi Shai Schechter, about telling God why you want more life. So I just don't have time. So telling God why you want more life. So Rav Dimi was perplexed. Why are you all being dumb? Why are you all being silent? My brother Rav Safra came. The Saper should tell all the good things about me, because then the Malachi Yesharis will take my case before the Kisei Kavod, and it will trigger the attribute of mercy, Midas Harachamim. Rav Dimi therefore spoke of his own merits, hoping that once he spoke of his own merits, they would follow suit and they would start to compliment him as well. Okay, good? So he's not a Balgaiva. Right? He's trying to urge them or prompt them to talk about his merits so that then they will intercede on his behalf. However, Rav Safra, his brother, indicated to him they were avoiding a discussion of his merits deliberately. Why? Because why? What does Rav Safra answer? "Have you ever heard the teaching? You shouldn't tell the positive, confirm the positive, you tell the negative." He was indicating to his brother, this is all based on Ben Yehoyada, who explains this complex piece of Gemara and perplexing piece of Gemara. However, Rav Safra's brother indicated to him they were avoiding a discussion of his merits deliberately, since this could have the opposite effect. That's why he answered his brother, have you ever heard the teaching? You shouldn't tell the positive, because from the positive you come to tell the gnai, the disparagement. How would this have the opposite effect in heaven? The prosecuting angels might react to the public discussion of his merits with prosecutorial zeal, zeal of a prosecutor, to rebut them. So if you come up and start saying this guy's so great, inevitably there's going to be someone who's going to say he's not as great as you think. So apparently this halacha holds true in Olam Hazeh, and to some degree, where? In the Olam HaEmes, in the Olam HaNeshamos. You start complimenting someone excessively, imagine that. It's not only that you invoke against impossible enemies in this world, but there's Kitrug and Shamayim against people, right? There's Sanegor and HaKategor. They don't wear gold on Yom Kippurim, ain't HaKategor Nasa Sanegor, because the prosecutor can't become the defense. So no one wants a Kitrug against him in Shamayim. And if you start saying how amazing this person is, and all the defense angels come to that person's defense, the way it works in court is that the way it works in public, there's also prosecuting angels. Now the prosecuting angels come and say, wait, you think he's so great? Yesterday he watched Schmutz on TV. Obviously I'm not talking about Demian or Safra. And last week he spoke Lashon Hara. And the week before they didn't make a bracha when they took a piece of mezonos. And the week before they made a chil Hashem in the supermarket and they were impatient. You think he's such a tzaddik? Let me tell you all that he did. So Rav Dimi sick, dome, and he can't figure out why everybody's silent. And he wants Rav Safra, Lesaper, to start telling his praises. What he says, I'm so amazing, I fulfilled everything the rabbi said. So Rav Safra said, be careful. You want to save your life. Have you ever heard the halacha? Don't praise a person in public. Too much praise is going to lead to gnai. So he was saying to his brother, we best remain silent. Let your zchuyah come on their own. If we start praising you too much in public, and even in the Olam Hadin, the Olam HaNeshamos, the Kategor will come. I mention all of your demerits in addition to your merits. Isn't this amazing? Whew, the prosecuting angels might react to the public discussion of his merits with prosecutorial zeal, and he would remain sick. Therefore, they would instead speak of his merits privately in their prayers. That's what it says. Doesn't mean you shouldn't daven for a person for refa'enu, but we have to be, we see, so careful, even when we utter complimentary words. What is api talesa after we went through the whole Rambam, explanation of the Chavetz Chaim according to Tosfos? Only if it's an ambiguous statement that is clearly positive. But if your tone of voice, body language, rolling your eyes indicate it's negative, then api talesa is considered absolutely lashon hara. He went from there to Api Talesa to three very interesting teachings of the Gemara in the name of Rav Dimi. Number one, based on the Pasuk of Mishlei, if you host somebody, they go to the market the next day, they are going to be, and announce how wonderful you are, they're going to be over Avak Lashon Hara. Second teaching, we explained all of them, I'm not going through the explanations again. Rav Dimi, the brother of Rav Safra, teaches, don't say the compliments, you might come to say the bad. We spoke about the Rambam's definition of Avak Lashon Hara, we gave practical examples, we saw what the Chavetz Chaim says, in rebuttal to the Rambam, the Chavetz Chaim says Avak Lashon Hara, those statements are actually total Lashon Hara. And finally, an amazing story finished, a narrative of the Gemara when Rav Dimi fell sick and Rav Safra came to visit him. And now we could understand why Rav Dimi then said to his brother, Lo Shemiyadi, you know, I never heard this teaching. The I have Shemiyadi Kayamte. You know, I never heard this teaching, but had I heard the teaching, I would have fulfilled it because it would have been saving my own life. So I was just thinking to myself, I don't know, I didn't see this written anywhere, but I was thinking to myself, Rav Dimi is the one who taught us this. So how could he say, I never heard it? It's immediate teaching. I see the time. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. I didn't even get through everything I prepared. It's good I didn't go off into the tangents. Okay. So, Baruch Hashem Yivan class still before Yantif, Ritz Hashem, before Rosh Hashanah. So I was thinking, how could it, was Rav Dimi a liar? So how could he say, I never heard the teaching? So it's very interesting. Listen carefully. I don't know if anyone noticed this. Okay? I see people are leaving. Okay, I hope they catch up on Vayu Torah at the end. Just give me two more minutes. Rav Dimi taught, La'olam al yisaper adam bitovaso shachaveiro, shemitoch tovaso bali deira aso. Rav Safra says to his brother, La'olam al yisaper adam bitovaso shachaveiro, shemitoch tovaso bali dei genuso. He actually changes the girsa of the halacha. Rav Dimi teaches, don't speak about the good. You might come to speak about the ra'aso, ra'ato, ra, bad. And Rav Safra tells it over, he changes and he says, from the good you might come to talk about gnuso, his gnai, his disparagement. So Taka, Rav Dimi could say, you know, I never heard this teaching. I taught it with a different kirsa. You're teaching with a different text. I never heard this text. So Rav Dimi is not a liar. He's Taka saying, if I would have heard this teaching, I would have fulfilled it, meaning I wouldn't have praised myself, so there's no kitchuk against me in Shemaim. So I hope everyone enjoyed the shir as much as I enjoyed the shir. I know it's less hashkafic and more halachic, but still a lot of hashkafa, a lot of practical application from these halachos. May the neshama of Tzvi Gershon ben Yoel v'chana Allah v'shalom and Zev Wolf ben Yishayim Mer Alios in the schus of the Torah we shared. I wish everybody a day besuras tovus and siyata d'shmaya with this tremendous avod of Shmir Salashim. We thank Alyssa Axron and her family. Alyssa, thank you so much. Tizkul mitzvah silam aysim tovim kol tov to all. Thank you.